This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We are joined right now by defense attorney and host of the podcast Defense Diaries, Bob Mata. Bob, we're talking about Brian Koberger. Now they have this speedy trial wave, but for quite a bit of time there, it seemed Ann Taylor was trying to find any way to delay it without technically the clock ticking down. Obviously now that has been taken away. The clock has been taken away, but they have time to take a closer look at some of the evidence in greater detail. And there's been a lot of arguments about what they should or should not have access to.
And our argument has been everything that we've been hearing about with the IgG and all that data and the research that she wants. And the state is, you know, claiming, look, it doesn't fall under Rule 17 and we don't have to give it to you. It's not discoverable. We're not going to even use it at trial. Why do you need it? And that's a much bigger, like that is probably something that we can have an entire conversation about, because I don't know if you follow my Twitter at defense underscore diaries, but you should.
Yep.
And it's been something that I've been debating a lot, because if she files a motion to suppress, it's going to get denied. But I feel as to the IgG stuff, because the argument is because we're dealing with third parties. Okay. So typically what we have is a situation where somebody is going to submit their profile either to a public database or a private, as like Ancestry or 23andMe. They're private. They require a warrant in order for law enforcement to get in there. But people can opt in, can opt in to put their name into, you know, GEDmatch, and law enforcement has access to those. So the question becomes, and it's really a case of first impression, meaning that it has never been dealt with, because this is a brand new form of science that is being introduced into the courts.
Yeah.
So like with anything that's new in terms of scientific discovery or techniques that are being used by law enforcement or by prosecutors in order to try to get convictions, it has to be tested to see that it's not junk science. So this is never, this, it's so brand new that it's just, it hasn't been vetted yet.
Sure.
So, and it's different than anything else that has ever existed. Because of the fact that you share that same YSTR DNA strand with everybody in your familial line, all the way to male, from males in your family line to your great-great-great-grandfather. If they were able to pull his DNA now, he would have the same YSTR strand that you do. So the argument is, does a defendant who they're not searching him, like say for instance, they were going to, because it's all about an expectation of privacy. That's what triggers a Fourth Amendment, like a Fourth Amendment violation potentially, is if we have an expectation of privacy in certain things, that they have to have probable cause in order, and they have to get a warrant in order to get that. Okay, so the question is, and the debate is whether or not there is standing in a third person, meaning somebody that had turned their DNA in or, you know, uploaded their profile to one of the databases. Does the defendant in any case, not just the Idaho case, but any case, do they have standing to say, okay, you needed a warrant to get into that database searching for essentially my DNA because it's shared with other family members in my line, the male line.
Sure.
So it's a super interesting, like the argument is fascinating. It's got to be dealt with, because this is now, in my estimation, and I think most people will agree, probably the most powerful tool that law enforcement has in its belt. You know, I mean, it's incredibly powerful. There's so much good that can be done with it. You know, this is not a conversation where we're saying we shouldn't use it. No, we're saying at least people that care about civil rights and civil liberties are saying, look, you know, use it, but you have to get a warrant just like you do for anything else.
Sure.
And that it's a strange argument, because there's just never been technology like that, because there's a voluntariness, like in terms of if you send your phone data off, okay, like if you're sending a text, know that is going through your phone carrier. Okay. So you're voluntarily doing that. So if you put some inculpatory text and you texted somebody, hey, I just committed this crime, and you send it off to somebody, you know, because you voluntarily typed it and sent it, that you have sent it off to a third party. So, you know, there was a, there's been some cases, there's a line of cases where initially they said, okay, you did that voluntarily. You sent it to a third party. And if law enforcement wants to go to that third party, you have no claim, no standing to say, look, there was a Fourth Amendment violation of my rights because they're dealing with third party, not you. You understand? So that's the difference. The difference here is that there is nothing voluntary about your distant relatives sharing your DNA. That's just a fact. It exists as a fact in the world.
Yeah.
So it's going to require us to have a much longer conversation. I know we're trying to get some other cases. So, but it's a fascinating issue. And I think it's going to come up. I hope that she has the time to file that motion to suppress. She'll lose it because right now, as the law stands, there is no standing for him to make a claim as to that.
Sure.
So he'll lose it, but that's how you get to the appellate court.
Yeah.
He gets convicted, then he appeals, then the issue is in the appellate courts, and it can make its way all the way up to the Supreme Court. And it has to.
Uh-huh.
It has to be resolved. It's got to be something either, you know, there's two or three states that have already legislated law as to it. Mm-hmm. I believe Maryland, and theirs is very strict. And I think that there was another state that I was reading has already enacted laws as to that issue. But eventually, you know, laws that are created by the legislature, they get litigated.
Yeah. Like
that's what lawyering is all about. The whole thing is about interpretation. You have the state interpreting it one way and you have the defense interpreting another way. And then you leave it to a judge to decide, okay, here's what the statute says, and this is how it applies.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.